Good. So you have Shin Aleph, correct?
Shin Aleph is here.
Now, we almost finished Shin Aleph yesterday. I think we got up to the last paragraph, which is called Ulam. And here, he quotes a Medrash, which is called Shochar Tov. And according to this Medrash, there was some sort of claim, some sort of tfiya, you know, an argument against the Jewish people. And the Medrash gives a mashal about this tfiya against the Jewish people. What happens? The pasuk records about David HaMelech, Vayihiki Ashav HaMelech Bebeiso, which means that David HaMelech is sitting in the palace, the royal palace. Vashem hiniach lo misaviv mikol oivav. He is now in a state of security because the enemies have been destroyed. So this is after the wars, the battles of Melech David, in which he was victorious. The Medrash says the following. God, who's the Navi, he comes and he says, V'hakem l'Hashem Mizbeach. Right, the centerpiece, so to speak, of the Beis HaMikdash is the Mizbeach. Hakem l'Hashem Mizbeach. Establish a bayis, a Beis HaMikdash, for God, with the Mizbeach. Mashal li'echad shayamakim b'no, v'lo yodea ben lama humako, so li'achad shayiko amalo, lech asei dover ploni, shetzivisicha yom kama yomim, v'lo shgachtum bo. In the Nimshal, it seems that the people of Israel were guilty, and many Jews died, because God told them to do something. They didn't know what they were guilty about. But God tells them, do this, meaning build a Beis HaMikdash. And the implication is that many times I waited for you to build a Beis HaMikdash. So, Osan Alafim, Shenaflu, many thousands of Jews died during the period of David HaMelech. And why did they die? This is on the top of Shin Beis. You have it? The top line? Lo naflu ela shalotavu binyan Beis HaMikdash. They didn't demand the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And we have to derive a kavah chomer. Uma elu shalo nivna b'yameihem v'lo nechrav b'yameihem. The Jews at that period of time did not have a Beis HaMikdash. It was not destroyed. And nevertheless, they were punished so severely because they didn't demand the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Anu, how much more so we, who have experienced the Churban in our days, or at least we could say that since the Beis HaMikdash wasn't built in our days, it's like it was Nechrav, is how could it be? Ain't on a misablim, we're not upset. Ain't on a mevakshim rachamim, we don't ask for divine compassion. We simply live in the reality of the absence of the Beis HaMikdash and we take it for granted and nobody pays any attention. It becomes milumuda. It's like we naturally assume that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Is achal achas kama v'kama? How much more so will the threat of punishment be hovering over our heads? If Hashem punished the people of Israel because they didn't demand the building of the Beis HaMikdash when there was no Beis HaMikdash in that time, how much more so we, who had a Beis HaMikdash, we lost the Beis HaMikdash, how much more so should we be begging God for compassion so that He doesn't chas v'shalom punish us for the fact that we didn't build the Beis HaMikdash? So we see clearly that according to the Medrash, the tefiyah against Klal Yisrael was because of the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, in the mashal, it's like a father who says to his son, why didn't you comply? Why didn't you fulfill my request, my demand, and therefore you'll be punished. Now it's interesting. The Medrash, as opposed to all the other sources that we've seen until now, does not put the emphasis on the temporary nature of the Aron. Aron, which is now floundering back and forth from one tent to another tent like a foreigner, like an alien in the land, but rather because they didn't fulfill the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. But this is very interesting, because David HaMelech was appointed the king, and he destroyed Amalek, at least the male members of Amalek. And now it makes sense that the moment is ripe for the building of the Beis HaMikdash, because once the Melech was appointed and Amalek was destroyed, the Torah now requires of us to build the Beis HaMikdash. We didn't do so. When we talk about Shoftim, you remember yesterday we said that there was a claim against the Jewish people, why didn't they build the Beis HaMikdash during the period of Shoftim? There the Pasuk accuses them of being complacent about the fact that the Aron is floundering, it's traveling from place to place, from one tent to another. And the answer is because that period of time is before Minui Melech and before the destruction of Amalek. The only tefillah against the people of Israel could be, why didn't they fulfill the mitzvah even though they're not obligated to do so? And yesterday we had a long discussion that in certain cases where there's an urgent need to fulfill a mitzvah, that even if the mitzvah technically is not obligatory, we still have to fulfill that mitzvah on a voluntary basis. So when we're talking about the period of Shoftim, way before David, and there's no Melech, and there's no destruction of Amalek, then, in that period of the Shoftim, you can only claim, well, how did you tolerate the situation where the Aron HaBris is floundering from an altar? But when we get to the parasha of David HaMelech, and the Medrash who says that, why didn't you fulfill this mitzvah? Here there's an actual claim on the mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because David was appointed as the Melech. The Zerah of Amalek was destroyed. At this point, there's an obligation to fulfill the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Now, we want to start a piece on the bottom of Shin Bet. So what we're skipping is the question that we asked yesterday about the Rambam, that he has two separate mitzvahs, if you recall. He has a mitzvah building the Beis HaMikdash, and that he codifies in Hilchos Melachim, and then he has a mitzvah of building the Beis HaBechira. And the Rambam quotes two different psukim. Maybe I got it mixed up. Again, the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira quotes the V'yosuli Mikdash, the mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash, and any Mishkan is a key of that mitzvah. Whereas the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, there he talks about the mitzvah of building the Beis HaBechira. So the question that we left with yesterday, which we don't have an answer for right now, is why the Rambam doesn't count these as two separate mitzvahs. Fine. Now, we want to know the following. The Gemara vacillates back and forth as to how to find the source for the fact that the destruction of Amalek comes before the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara never questions which of the following two mitzvahs come first, building the Beis HaMikdash or appointing a king. So we know that first you have to destroy Amalek before you build the Beis HaMikdash. But let's say we've destroyed Amalek and now we built, and now we're ready to build the Beis HaMikdash, but we don't have a king. What comes first? The Gemara doesn't even address this question. But based on the Pasuk in Shmuel, the Pasuk says that David HaMelech was sitting on the throne. He had already achieved, as a king, the destruction of his enemies. It was Hiniach lo misaviv mikol oivav. And now comes the mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash, because two mitzvahs have been fulfilled. Number one, they've appointed a king, that's David. Number two, they've destroyed Amalek. Who is obligated in this mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash? Nasan HaNavi comes to David HaMelech and he says to him, why didn't you build the Beis HaMikdash? And it seems like the one who was responsible here for the absence of this mitzvah, for the non-fulfillment of this mitzvah, was whom? Was David. The Rambam writes, Ba HaMitzvah Shelo Yivne Beis HaBechir Eli Achra HaKomas Melech Sheyitzav Livnoso. We have to build a Beis HaMikdash after the Melech is appointed and he will command us to do so. The Rambam seems to indicate that the mitzvah is incumbent upon the Melech. And Rashi says that Binyan Beis HaMikdash Toli B'Melech. It seems that there are many sources to prove that the mitzvah itself is incumbent upon the Melech himself. So we asked, why did the Gemara try to figure out what comes first, building the Beis HaMikdash or meeting Melech? The answer is, there is no mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash unless you have a king. The mitzvah of meeting Melech must be fulfilled before the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash, because the mitzvah itself is incumbent upon the Melech. We need the Melech to command the people. Now it's time to build the Beis HaMikdash. So there was never a suffix in the Gemara's mind that appointing a king comes before the building of Beis HaMikdash, because it's the king who's obligated to build the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Arayim is one of the Baalei HaTosfos, Rebbe Elezer Mimetz. He says that Sholosh mitzvos nitzav Yisrael beis kinisos nol aretz lamadu mikan she mitzvah limcho zecher Amalek al haMelech mutelis. Who has to destroy Amalek? This is an obligation incumbent upon the king himself, Alal Shar Yisrael. So according to the sheet of the Sefer Yerayim, the obligation to destroy Amalek is incumbent upon the Melech. Well, how does he know such a thing? And perhaps the answer is that he derived it from this Seder. The Seder was that first you appoint a king and then you destroy Amalek. It means that who's obligated to destroy Amalek? The Melech. So there's no mitzvah until first and foremost you appoint a Melech. So Minui Melech, according to the Arayim, by definition has to take place before the mitzvah of destroying Amalek, because, says the Arayim, it's not just Allah can say there, but because the Melech has to come before Amalek, because the Melech is the one who's obligated in this mitzvah of destroying Amalek. If we take this Urayim one step further, we can now understand why the Gemara never had a suffix where the Melech comes before Binyan Beis HaMikdash or not. Because the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, like the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolek, is incumbent upon the Melech. So there's no doubt in the Gemara's mind that first you have to fulfill the mitzvah of meeting Melech, and only then can you talk about the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. So on both sides, when we say that Melech comes first, then Amalek, and finally Binyan Beis HaMikdash, what we're saying about these three mitzvahs is they're all incumbent upon the Melech. The fact that destroying Amalek is incumbent upon the Melech, we see in the Sefer Yerayim. The fact that Binyan Beis HaMikdash is incumbent upon the Melech, we derive from the Rambam. If we put this all together into one neat package, it means that the Seder, the sequence of Melech, Amalek, Beis HaMikdash, is not just sequence, but that all these mitzvos are incumbent upon the Melech. Now you remember that Shaul was commanded by Shmuel to go out and destroy Amalek. Which male member of Amalek did he spare? Do you remember? and then Shmuel is going to kill that person. Do you remember his name? I'll give you a hint. Haman in the Megillah is a descendant of his. Agag. Right, Agag was the king of Amalek. And it wasn't Shaul who put him to death, it was actually Shmuel. Now when Shmuel puts him to death, he makes a declaration before he kills him, and he says, Kasher Shokla Nashim Charbacha, meaning that you took the sword and you widowed many women, meaning you killed their husbands. You are a murderer. Now the question arises, why did Shmuel have to declare, I'm killing you, Agag, because you're a murderer? Why didn't he just simply say, I'm killing you, Agag, because it's a mitzvah of Mechias Amalek? It was Shmuel himself who castigated Shaul. Why didn't you fulfill the mitzvah as God commanded you? I hear Agag, he's still alive. Why did Shmuel feel compelled to justify or pin it on the fact that he, Agag, is a rotzeh? Let's go back to the Urayim. According to the Urayim, who is obligated to destroy Amalek? The Melech. Shmuel, with all the respect, is not the Melech. So Shaul, if he would have killed Agag, he would have just said, simply say, you're on Amalek, you have to kill you. But in the case of Shmuel, Shmuel has no justification in killing Amalek because he's not the Melech, and therefore he's not obligated in this mitzvah. Therefore, Shmuel has to declare, I'm killing you, not b'toras Amalek, but b'toras Rotzeach. And this could possibly shed a light on the pasuk in B'shalach. It says, Ki yod al kes ka. Kes is a reference to the throne. We're talking about Malchus, about kingship. And the Torah is saying, Ki yod al kes ka. Once you appoint a king, then milchama l'Hashem b'Amalek. Then you could fulfill the mitzvah of destroying Amalek. And I'm going to just read to you a few lines. He says, "Ein ze toli rak im niskaima mitzvahs minu yamelech v'im yesh olav toras melech begufo ki im ze toli im yesh biyodo anhogas amalchus dekol sheyesh biyodo anhogas amalchus mechuyiv lilchom in Amalek." So the Gevuras Yitzchak introduces a brisket Tzvei Dinim. There are two different dimensions to Malchus. There's what's called the Melech Begufo. He was appointed as a king, and all the mitzvahs that apply to a king apply to him. But then, there's a Malchus, which is Hanhaga. Hanhaga means that everybody looks up to the king, accepts his commands, and obeys his will, and nobody rebels against the king. That's called Hanhogas Hamalucha. For the Melech to be obligated in the midst of destroying Amalek, it's not enough that he's Melech Begufo, that he's been appointed as a man as such, but he needs Hanhogas Hamalucha. So that even though he already has the Torah Melech Begufo, he's not going to be obligated in the mitzvah of Melchemes Amalek, unless he has an Hogas Malchus. Now the Torah says that at what point is the Melech obligated to destroy Amalek? Ki yod al kes ka, v'ein kisei el Malchus, shenemar v'yeshev Shlomo al kisei Hashem l'melech. The pasuk doesn't say the word Melech. It says ki yod al kes, but the Gemara says ain kisei al malchus. Why is it that the Torah deliberately omitted the word melech? Instead, it used the word kisei. What's the difference between melech and kisei? So he says that the implication of the word kisei is hanhagas hamalucha. He's sitting on the throne. And every single word, every single decree that comes out of his mouth, the people say, you're the commander-in-chief. And the pasuk says, Vayeshiv Shlomo al kisei Hashem lemelech. What does that mean? That was given to Shlomo on Hogas HaMelucha. He is going to, with sovereign rulership, he is going to regulate and control the entire Melucha. Everybody has to listen to every last command from the Melech. What would be if you had a melech who had a Torah melech? He was appointed as such, but ein biyado an hodas hamalucha. He doesn't have the power to reign it over the people. In such a case, eino mitzuva b'achrosa zaro shel hamolech. He, the melech, in such a case, cannot be the leader with the clarion call, we have to destroy Amalek. He cannot take the people of Israel out to battle against Amalek unless he has hanhaga samalucha, unless the people respect every word, every command. If this be the case, why didn't Shmuel kill Agag, midin mitzvahs machias Amalek? And the answer is that Shaul HaMelech was still a melech. Just one second. Let me read this. He says, the Afagav Shekhtakati Hoyeshol Melech, means Shaul was still the king. Mikomakom Poka Me'olav Torah Sanhogas HaMalchus. When Shmuel declares, Kara Hashem Es Malchus Miyish Mishol, that God has ripped away the kingship of Shaul, what it means is that he doesn't have a Torah smell. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I got confused. What it means is Kara Shemes Hamalchus Mishol means that he doesn't have Hanhagas Hamalucha. He's not sitting on the Kisei of Malchus. He may still be a Melech Begufo, but he doesn't have that element of Hanhagas Malchus. And then Afkamina is going to be Hachros HaZaro Shalamolim. When is it incumbent upon the king to destroy Amalek? Only Ki Yod Al Keska. Keska means that he's sitting on the throne and he is operating with Hanhagas Malchus. Everything he says goes. Nobody's rebelling against him. That's Hanhagas Malchus. Such a melech is obligated to send his troops out to battle against Amalek. But if he doesn't have Hanhagas Malchus, then the mitzvah of Amalek doesn't apply to him. Who's going to listen to him? I mean, just thought of Balavatish a little. He says, let's go out to battle. Fife there on it. Go fly a kite. There's no Hanhagas Malchus.
But with Shaul, wasn't it the very case? I thought, I'm confused, because I thought, like which concurred the cart before the horse. I thought the problem was he didn't wipe out all Amalek, and that's why the Hanhagas Malchus, it was taken from him.
Correct, but now we're talking about that slice of time after Shaul destroys Amalek, whatever section of Amalek he succeeded destroying, and the killing of Agag. That's the little slice of time we're in. Who's going to kill Agag? Shmuel. Why not Shaul? If Shaul wants to get back onto the, back onto the horse, and Shmuel castigated him, at least let him kill Agag. The answer is that he's not obligated to kill Agag. Why not? He's a melech. And the answer is that something radical happened, something very profound happened in terms of the status of Shaul before the episode with Agag. In other words, after he did what he did and he failed where he failed in Amalek, something happens, changes the status of Shaul. And when it's time to put Agag to death, he, Shaul, because of his change in status, is no longer obligated in the mitzvah of destroying Amalek. What happened in between the battle against Amalek and the destruction of Agag, the killing of Agag? In the middle, Shmuel comes to Shaul and says, Kara Hashem es Malchusa Mimcha. I'm not sure if that's exactly word for word, but that's the gist of it. Kara with an ayin. What does that mean, Kara Mincha? We know that Shaul remained the king until his very death. He died a gruesome death. But during all those periods, during that long period of time, he was still a melech. So what does it mean that Kara Hashem Malchuscha Mimecha? And again, we have vested interest here in understanding what Kara Hashem Es Hamalchus is. Because we want to justify the fact that it wasn't Shaul who would put Agag to death as Melech, but rather it was Shmuel. Why not Shaul? And Adarav, Shaul wants to prove himself and rectify his sins. Chutz, give him a chance to kill Agag and finally fulfill the mitzvah of Bechias HaMolik Azai the way it's required to do. The answer is because Kar Hashem Malchuscha Mimecha. And the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolek, of destroying HaMolek, is incumbent upon whom? On the Melech. But what does that mean? Shaul is no longer the king? Shaul is going to be the king for years to come, until he dies.
He was like the king in name only.
Okay. Exactly. Excellent. That's what he calls Toras Melech Begufa. Toras Melech Begufa means his body is anointed with the separate sanctity and status of the king. But that's not enough for HaMolek. The mitzvah of HaMolek depends upon not just the king in name, Begufo, but a king in Hanhaga, to be Noeg Malchus, which means that the people adore him and they stand in awe of him and he can take them out to battle. Basically, he's the sovereign ruler for everything, over the people. That's where Shaul lost his status as a melech. Kara Hashem Malchuscha Mimcha doesn't mean the Torah's melech. He's still a melech. But his ability to run the country was totally undermined. He no longer was a melech b'fa'al. He was a melech in theory, but as far as the implementation of his nevuah, that he lost. Kar Hashem Malchusa means he lost the koach hanhaga.
Now, what was the from Shaul's perspective? It wasn't Hashem stripping his malchus away from him. It was Shmuel.
I don't know that to be true. I thought Shaul was, you know, was very contrite, and he accepted, you know, Shmuel's nevuah, hook, line, and sinker. He was very humble, Shaul, and he was very pious. Now he says the Gemara proves that Zara Shalom Molech has to come before Binyan Beis Abachira, because it says V'iniach Lashem Lachem Mikol Eivechem. And then it says, V'hoya Abakom Asher Yivchar. But the question is, when the pasuk says, V'iniach lachem mikol oyveichem, is that a reference to Amalek? It says, mikol oyveichem. We're not referring to Amalek, we're talking about all the oyvim. God is saying that when you're absolutely secure, and you've destroyed all your enemies, you're living in Shangri-La, an ideal state, at that point, you're chayev in the midst of building the Beis HaMikdash. But we're now narrowing it down to Amalek. How do we justify such a thing? And it's interesting, that phrase, Kol Eivecha, appears in Parshas Ki Tetze, and it says, V'ayav b'iniach Hashem al-kech l'cha mikol Eivecha, Timcha Ezecha Amalek. Mikol Eivecha could not possibly refer to Amalek, because we're saying that once you defeat Kol Eivecha, then you have to destroy Amalek. So Kol Eivecha doesn't include Amalek. So how can the Gemara prove that the mitzvah binyan Beis HaMikdash is generated by the destruction of Amalek based on the pasuk V'iniach Hashem Lachem Mikol Eivechem? Mikol Eivechem doesn't refer to Amalek. there's a Pella here. The Gemara says that what's the prerequisite, the precondition for Binyan Beis HaMikdash? It's got to be Amalek. Well, where does it say in this Pasuk Amalek? The Torah says, V'aniach lochem b'kol ayvechem. We know that the word b'kol ayvechem, that phrase doesn't refer to Amalek. So tell me.
Amalek is in a special category. It doesn't mean the we'll call it that. I'm not as bad as Amalek vis-a-vis Amalek's hatred and wanting to wipe out Jews compared to.
No, there's no question that there's a separate mitzvah of destroying Amalek, and there's no question that Amalek is included under Kol Ayvecha. And there's no question that Binyan Beis HaMikdash requires that we have peace and quiet as far as Amalek is concerned. But why is that sufficient? Logically, based on the Psukim, the Gemara should have derived the conclusion, formulated the conclusion, that it's only when we're free of all our enemies. Imagine we destroy Amalek. Fine, shkodach, that's very big. Big news, splashed on the top. But there are a lot of other Oivim who are still approaching us, who are still threatening us. There's Amon, there's Moab, there's Assyria, you know, we're surrounded by enemies. But yet the Torah says, V'hoya, hiniach lochem mikol oivechem. I mean, what could be more explicit? It says mikol oivechem. The second question we want to ask here is, how could it be that David HaMelech would be chayv in the midst of Binyan based on Abchira, as we saw earlier in Tanakh, in our study of Tanakh, simply because he destroyed Amalek, when in fact the mitzvah of destroying Amalek was not fulfilled at the time of David HaMelech? Because which members of Amalek were killed? Only the males, not the females. So again, let's just summarize two questions. Number one, it says Mikol Ayvechem. How does Gemara derive that it's a Molech specifically that has to be destroyed? And secondly, since David HaMelech never successfully fulfilled this mitzvah of Molech, because the males were killed but not the females, how then could there be a, how could it be feasible that now he's obligated in the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash and he'll be taken to task if he doesn't get involved when all these female Amalekim are running around? So in the paragraph that starts V'hinei Rashi says B'knisasam la'aretz, all these three mitzvahs are obligatory when they enter the land. Rashi says B'kulo ksiv Yerusha v'yeshiva v'yarashta v'yashavta ba. It means that according to Rashi, these three mitzvos are only incumbent after Yerusha and Yeshiva. Now, what period of time are we talking about? Yoshua enters the land. It takes him 7 years to conquer the land, and then 7 years to divvy up all the parcels of land that belong respectively to all the Shvatim. That's called the 14 years of Yerusha and Yeshiva. Sheva Keshekivshu, Sheva Shechilku. So that, according to Rashi, for some reason, which we're trying to figure out why, these three mitzvahs depend upon Yerusha and Yeshiva. So it means it's only after that 14-year period of time when they fulfill Yerusha and Yeshiva, only at that moment in time do they become obligated in the mitzvos that we mentioned. The Mini Melech, Hachros HaZar Shel HaMolek, and Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Now this is very strange. The concept of Yerusha and Yeshiva as a precondition in mitzvos is familiar to us with regard to agricultural mitzvahs, what we call mitzvah tulis ba'aretz. And mitzvah tulis ba'aretz means we need the kedusha of the land, the sanctity of the land, and sometimes it will take a full 14 years of Yerusha and Yeshiva until we can sanctify the land and be obligated in Trumas and Maisvus and the lot. But here, Rashi is invoking the principle of Yerusha and Yeshiva with regard to the mitzvah of Mini Melech, Achrasa Zara Shel Avram, Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Why should we require Yerusha v'Yeshiva? Let's say, for example, they conquer the land and Yoshua is the Melech. So at this point, he should be obligated in Achrasa Zera Shel Amalek. Why do we need Yerusha and Yeshiva? So what is Yerusha and Yeshiva? And he says the following. The Pasuk says, V'yarashtem ba'aretz asher Hashem elkechem manchiloschem v'yiniach lochem l'chol oyveichem misaviv v'yishavtem betach. Rashi understood from this Pasuk, which again is not, the Gemara doesn't seem to say this, at least not explicitly, that it's only after v'yishavtem ba'aretz, which is the clincher, in other words, after the first 7 years of Yerusha, now we have the 7 years of Yeshiva, only at the culmination of that period of time, then v'niach lochem mikol eivecha misaviv. So the v'niach lochem has got to be by definition after kibush v'chiluk, because the Torah introduces the parasha of Matthias HaMolek with the words v'yishavtem ba'aretz. Now, after Kibush v'chiluk, those 14 years, then we get to a point of Menucha min Hagoyim, and then we can fulfill the pasuk of Hashiniach Hashem mikol eivecha misaviv. And now, we can be ready for these three mitzvahs of Melech, Amalek, and Beis HaMikdash. Now, at what point historically...
So we're talking about after 14 years?
14 years, correct. Yoshua comes in, 14 years later, we're up to Yerusha v'Yeshiva. But there's another condition here. The Torah says, V'niach lechem mikol oyvecha misaviv. That was not achieved after the 14 years. There were still plenty of adversaries and enemies against the Jewish people. It's only at the time of David HaMelech, then it says, Vayehi ki yashav HaMelech, meaning David b'beiso, Hashem hiniach lo misaviv mikol oyvav. So according to Rashi, if the mitzvah of destroying Amalek and building Beis HaMikdash depends upon Yerusha v'Yeshiva, Sheva Shekavshu v'Sheva Shechilku, then it would seem that way before David HaMelech we should have been obligated in these three mitzvahs. But the answer might be is that the Torah added another condition, and that is Menucha min Hagoyim asher svivoseichem. V'niach lochem mikol eivecha misaviv yishavtem betach. That would not be fulfilled until David HaMelech's time. So according to Rashi, it comes out that in theory, there could have been a mitzvah of Melech, Amalek, and Migdash immediately after the first 14 years of Yerusha v'Yeshiva. But in actuality, that's not going to be enough. We have to wait in a long time into history from Yoshua till David, because it's only at the time of David that there was a fulfillment of the condition of V'niach lochem mikol eivecha misaviv. The Niramize, the Bemis Mitzvah's Binyan Beis HaBechira, Eino Toli Klal B'Kiyu Mitzvah's Achrosas Zaro Shalomah, Kiyu Toli B'Menucha Min HaGoyim Asher Svivoseyem. This is a radical Chiddush. He's suggesting that even if David HaMelech did not kill all of Amalek, and if he didn't fulfill the Mitzvah of Amalek, the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMechira does not depend upon the fulfilling the mitzvah of Achrasa Zara Shel Amalek, but rather it's totally in this reality called Menucha Min Hagoyim Asher Svivoseichem. Kol Sheniskayim Menucha Min Hagoyim, is afil lonis kaima mitzvah sachrosas zara shalom molik chal mitzvahs binyan beis habachir. So beis habachir does not depend upon the fulfillment of the mitzvah of hachrosas zara shalom molik, as we always assume, but rather it depends upon hiniach Hashem alkecha kol evecha misaviv. We need menucha min hagoyim.
What
David HaMelech was able to accomplish with his wars is menucha min hagoyim. We were completely secure. And the mele, the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash is chal. And the Novi is going to come to David and say, why didn't you fulfill this mitzvah? Wait a minute, but David didn't destroy Amalek. The answer is that the destruction of Amalek is not a mitzvah which is the precondition of the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. The destruction of Amalek is part and parcel of achieving the condition of Hiniach Lachem Mikol Evecha Misaviv. Right? That now you're sitting betach. You're in a state of security and of calm. That's the condition. So now we answer two questions. Number one, why is David obligated in the building of the Beis HaMikdash? After all, he didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Hamolek. The women folk were left alive. And question number two is, how could the Gemara derive that Hamolek is a precondition for Binyan Beis HaMikdash from the Pasuk Mikol Evecha? The Pasuk Mikol Evecha is not referring specifically to Hamolek. The answer is that you don't have to have a fulfillment of the mitzvah of destroying Amalek in order to be chayav in the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. All you need is menucha mikol evecha misaviv. And that's why the Torah went out of its way to use the phrase mikol evecha, because even if you destroy Amalek, but if you still have oivim who are knocking down, you know, and threatening you, then it's not menucha. It's not viniach lachem Hashem alekecha. The viniach l'shem alkech mikol evechem is only feasible when we destroy all those nations that threaten us. And that's going to be the precondition for building the Beis HaMikdash. But it's not specifically for the mitzvah of destroying Amalek. Again, Amalek may be the most profound of all our enemies. And certainly, you know, first and foremost, if you want to get to the state of Menucha, we have to destroy Amalek. That's very true. But if Lu Yitzur, if it would be possible that we destroy Amalek, but there are other nations of the world that are threatening us, then it would be premature for the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Why is David obligated the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash? The answer is because it was already v'niach Hashem alkech mikol evecha misaviv. And for that, David could accomplish that goal without destroying the women folk of Amalek, even though he only destroyed the men of Amalek. That was enough to grant the Jewish nation at that point security. And that generates the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Okay. So it's really interesting. Okay, we'll stop here. Ritz Hashem. Alright, tomorrow at this time I'm going to try to teach Meshech Chochmah. It's a new topic I want to take on. We'll see. We'll see.